Sunday Evangelium with Father Andrew Pinsent, on the 25th Sunday of the year.
In today's first reading, God tells us that his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. So we should not perhaps be surprised at how God so often acts in ways that confound our expectations. The parable in today's gospel, that of the workers in the vineyard, is certainly a moral story with an unexpected outcome. The vineyard symbolizes this present world. The landowner is, of course, God. The laborers are all those called to God's work in the world. And evening is a time of death, judgment, and reward. So in this parable, Jesus describes the life, death, and judgment of every baptized person, including ourselves. The surprise is, of course, that those in the parable who started the Lord's work in the last hour of their lives receive the same wage as those hired at the beginning of their lives. If we assume that there should be some proportionality between the amount of work done and the reward received, God seems to act unjustly towards those who have worked their whole lives long. How then can we explain this apparent injustice? The most obvious answer is that the rewards of eternity are not proportional to the amount of work done in this life in the Lord's service. Indeed, the only person in Jesus' ministry whom Jesus promises will go straight to paradise when he dies is a miserable thief crucified beside him who simply begs him for salvation. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This thief has no time left in his life for any other work, yet apparently just by asking, he is promised eternal life that very day. So one answer to the problem raised by the parable of the vineyard is that there is no connection between labours undertaken and rewards given. Salvation is simply an unearned gift. There is, however, a puzzle with this response. While it is true that we cannot earn our salvation by our own efforts, there are also many verses in the Bible that imply that our labours in this life are rewarded in eternity. Jesus promises, for example, that whoever gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Similarly, St. Paul promises that afflictions endured while serving the Lord prepare us for an eternal weight of glory that bears no comparison to our sufferings. Such texts therefore seem to suggest that God remembers and indeed richly rewards each and every one of our good works in his service. Why then, in today's parable of the vineyard, did those who have laboured all day, presumably doing more good work than the others, receive the same reward as those who arrive right at the end of the day? I suggest that the key to understanding this problem lies in what is really meant by the Lord's work. What, after all, is the real work of God to which we are called? A moment's thought shows that the value of our work for God cannot be measured by productive output for as long a period as possible. Although our society is accustomed to measure the worth of persons by their production, God, who created a universe with at least 100 billion galaxies, scarcely needs us to produce things. So what does God want from us? Well, in John's Gospel, Jesus says that eternal life, the eternal life God wishes us to have, is to know the true God. Now, to know someone with the knowledge of friendship requires some sort of harmony between the friends, between the person who knows and the one who is known. Following this line of thought, our work in life is therefore to become like God in one important sense, to learn to love with God the things that God loves. It is not, therefore, the amount of work that we do, but the extent to which our hearts are surrendered to God which matters in his sight. Evidence for this answer can be seen by the way in which Jesus especially commends small but extravagant actions, actions that are materially inconsequential, but which flow from a heart that is broken and surrendered. Hence Jesus praises the poor widow who gave up her last 2 copper coins to God's service, far more than the rich people who contributed a fraction of their abundant wealth. Hence Jesus commends the actions of the woman who wets his feet with her tears, above the generosity of the good Pharisee who invites him to dinner. Hence Jesus commends the sufferings of St. Paul and the action of the thief who humbly asks for salvation. Hence Jesus says that to give a single cup of cold water will be rewarded, not because of the material value of the water, but because of the love of God which motivates the generosity. Extravagant actions such as these do not necessarily require much time or many possessions, but they do require much faith and much love, and this is what God commends and rewards. From this perspective, therefore, today's gospel is a solemn warning to those apparently working hard in the Lord's service. The labourers who grumble at the landowner's generosity may have been materially productive in their lives, but they fail to understand the heart of the landowner on the day of judgment. These labourers do not, therefore, really know the God for whom they have been working, which means they have not done the true work of God at all. This is why God passes a terrible sentence on them: "Take what is yours and go." To be told to depart from God's presence is not what we want to hear on Judgment Day. The true work of God is to have a crucified heart on fire with divine love. A heart that is proud and envious of God's generosity is a heart empty of love, and therefore empty of God. Thank you.